Well, it's kind of fun. In Sunday school last week, we were talking about the commandment about not taking the Lord's name in vain, and I was commenting on how I was kind of glad that we got done there, because when I get to the whole Sabbath thing, it's like I am bad with Sabbath. I kind of get my identity off of being one who works all the time, and I'm always busy, and I've always got stuff to do. And whenever you start talking about the Sabbath, it trips me up at creating Sabbath in my life, and I'm pretty good at having all kinds of excuses for not doing it. So I get home on Sunday, I look up the readings for this week, and they're both about the Sabbath. You know, it's like, okay, God, thanks. I think there's a message in here somewhere that if we honor Sabbath, if we take that place and that time in the heart of our lives to be present with God, we become different people than the powers that are wanting us to be a particular way. So a guy, Thich Nhat Hanh, a man who I study a good bit, he said that in the United States, to take an hour to drink a cup of tea is an act of revolution. That we are so busy in our lives that even as we're sitting here, about a third of our brains are very busy about what's coming next. We're a little bit thinking about how we're going to manage coffee time, and then some of us are thinking about what we have to do in the session meeting, and some of us are thinking about what we're going to be doing this afternoon. And even while we're here, we have all these other things competing. And Isaiah tells the people as they're returning to Israel that if they will keep this holy space, if they will remember to whom they belong, if they will let God into their lives to move, that they will be people who repair injustice of the breach. They will be the people who issue in a new community, a community that God honors and that survives the tests of time. Our second reading today comes, we're continuing on in Luke, and we're several chapters now that Jesus has been moving toward Jerusalem. He very clearly knows where he's going and what he's about as he goes there, and then on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she stood up straight and began to praise God. But the leader of the synagogue, indeed indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which your work ought to be done. Come on those days to be cured, not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound for 18 years, be set free of this bondage on the Sabbath day?" And when Jesus was rejoicing at all of the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. Let us pray. Spirit of God, Spirit of Sabbath, open our hearts this day, that we may receive your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I love this. Jesus isn't exactly on vacation, but he's traveling, and what he does, and there he is. And he's, in Luke's gospel, I think there's 7 different times when Jesus heals on a Sabbath. And so Jesus is pretty good about breaking rules, especially when those rules get wrapped around and wound up so tight that they aren't even doing what God intended them to do. They're really about making people slaves to rules rather than creating that place of Sabbath within people's lives so that they can be at one with God and they can receive God's message to them. So Jesus goes to church. And when he gets to church, he sees this person who is disabled. Now, abled because of demons or because of evil that is happening in the world. And I can't tell you how many hours I spent this week reading people talking about disability. So one of the authors wrote, now you have to be real careful not to say anything that offends differently abled people, that, you know, that being differently abled can be a gift. And then somebody wrote back to this person and said, you know, you are like, I guess you think it sounds good and open to refer to us as, to me as differently able, but I am a person with a disability. And so there was this whole dialogue that was going on this kind of blog that I was reading about disability and about being differently abled and about how you say that in ways that affirms the humanity in people and race and disability. And it's kind of an interesting thing because I don't even know what you call people that aren't disabled. You know, are they able-bodied or are they temporarily normally abled? Because there's a whole bunch of us in this congregation today who have spectacles. Some of us have hearing aids. Some of us have canes, and some of us have walkers. And some of us are struggling with things going on in our minds, and we're preoccupied, and some of us are taking medications to help us in this way and another. And many of us can kind of look back on who we used to be in days gone by and say, wow, that person was differently abled than I am today. But in fact, we are, you know, by virtue of injury, by virtue of aging, by virtue of disease, many of us are people with some disabilities. And, you know, we have a sense of how that works and how God, she's a child with a disability. She has deafness, and it's being accommodated by a hearing aid a little bit. And she's going to have a much more normalized life than she would have if Susie and Robbie hadn't caught it so early. And, you know, she's learning words. In fact, Susie was kind enough to send me a little video where she said Barlow. It made me cry. You know, it's like, wow, that is just so wonderful. This child who a generation ago may have not been discovered is... we're aware of things and we're not afraid to explore and to find things. So I know that in Jesus' day, there were people who were disabled because of injury. There were people who were disabled because of childhood diseases. There were people who were disabled the same sort of ways that we have our own disabilities. And the guy who was writing back and forth, he said, you know, you accommodate my disability, I can be a full functioning person. But if you won't accommodate me, then what I have is a handicap. And I'm not able to participate fully in life. So Jesus goes to church, and while he's in church, he sees a woman who has a disability that has been, you know, there's part of me that likes to think, you know, back then they had devils and the devils ran around and they were like cartoon characters, you know, and they kind of step into a person's body and they possess them and then there's this, you know, casting the, you know, and all the stuff about demons and, you know, it's like way different than we had, you know, now we call it mental illness, right? Now we have different ways of talking about people who have various kinds of disabilities, but there are people who are disabled because we won't accommodate who they are, and because we will not recognize the value of their humanity. So I was at my Rotary meeting on Friday, and a woman who's going to be, well, she is the district governor, and she was speaking, and she related a story about the happiest person that she's ever encountered in her life, a woman named Joy, who lives in Ethiopia. And she was, she said that Joy, when she first met Joy, no water, no plumbing, no electric. She was trying to raise three kids in a place without any resource. The land was pretty barren. And Joy said to her and this group of people who were visiting, said, you know, if only there was a way to get started, I have an idea for a business that I would like to start. And she talked to this group that were visiting the village, and they came back and they decided that they wanted to developing world. There are entities that will do what's called a microloan. So Joy wanted a loan of $50. Now, $50 doesn't sound like very much money to me. Maybe more than that. And she's just kind of desperately poor. She's trying to raise these kids. Her husband has died of HIV/AIDS. She doesn't see much hope in the world. And the people came back and they decided to create this little loan program. And one of the rule laterals, so in order to try to secure the loan, she had to get seven other people who would sign off for her as backers of the loan. And so she networked with her friends, and she found seven other people, all women, who would co-sign the loan for her. And so because of that, she got her $50, and with the $50, she built a kiln, or a stove, or an oven, and she started making bread, injera, the native bread of Ethiopia, and selling it at the market for people. And she did well. And she repaid her loan. But even as she did that, each of the other seven also took out loans, and each one started a small business. And each of those businesses ended up being successful. And then Joy took out another loan for the next time around, and she got another $50. And then she improved her oven, and she made herself more productive. And Mo, the woman who presented, she said, and the last time I visited, her house was painted. And she'd brought in water. And they'd built a fence around the property. And it was painted. And she had people working for her. And she had hired people to do all of this work. And she had created and engendered and made successful, helped to make successful other businesses. And Joy was a person who was handicapped by a system that won't allow women to borrow money. Joy was handicapped by a system that did not allow her to have a way to work for wages. When Joy was handicapped by living in a very poor area where there was not much sense of hope and there wasn't much sense of a future. She was handicapped because she was living in a world where women are not taken seriously and women are not often empowered. But she knew that she had within her what she needed in order to provide for herself and her children. And she just needed a way to get the opportunity to live into her potential. Provides for her family and her community. And amazing things are happening because of this $350 of seed money in microgrants to 7 women. I think about the woman in the synagogue in Jesus' day. And I think about the rules that existed that would deny her access to opportunity and hope in her own life. And I don't know exactly what the scripture means when it says she a demonic energy. But I know people in my world that are disabled because of evil energies, energies that don't allow people to be compensated in such a way that they can have lives that make sense. I know that there are people in my world who come from families where parents are addicted or not present. I know that there are people in my world who go to schools that are way less functional than the schools that other people go to. I know that there are people in my world who don't know how to go about it, and no one in their family has ever done such a thing. I know there are people in my world who we desperately need to live into their potential, who are denied that access. And Jesus goes into a synagogue. Jesus goes to church with his eyes open. And he sees a person who is not living to her potential because she is weighed down by a malady in her body that is brought about by evil within her society. And he reaches to her, and he touches her, and he heals her. And the person in power was angry that he did that. My friends, I hope that we are people who are willing to absorb the anger of those who profit off of unrighteousness, to be touched by the Spirit, to live into our Sabbath, and while in our Sabbath, we are able to see in the world what needs to be attended to, and that we are able to use our Sabbath clarity to be people who move forward in our world to make a change and to bring about justice. That we will be the repairers of the breach because we see God's love and God's wisdom in each person that we encounter, and that we will have the courage to bring healing as a result of the time that we have spent quietly with God, our Redeemer. Let us pray. Lord, you bring us here on our Sabbath time, and you invite us to have eyes wide open, to look at the world that you have entrusted to us and ask, how do we bring forth justice that your life and your will and your word may flourish. Give us wisdom, give us openness, and let us address the brokenness when we can and how we can. In Jesus' name.